We're going to be finishing our series here. We've been doing a three-week series called God With Us, Emmanuel, God With Us, and we're going to be finishing that here today. And we're going to be talking, we've been talking about valleys in the wilderness. The first week we talked about the valley, we know God, we enjoy Him in the mountaintops, but in the valleys you get to know God. You get to know Him personally, the God that's with you. Last week we talked about the wilderness. The wilderness is that wandering and about the deepest need. We talked about how Elijah, his deepest need was to know that God was with him, beside him. And God whispered. We talked about the earth and the wind and the fire, but God was in the whisper right there, and he was close by him. And today we're going to be talking about storms here. But our main verse of the series has been Matthew 1, 21 through 23. And it says, "She will bear him a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us." And so that's what our series has been talking about, is learning and knowing this God that's with us. And how many of us are, man, we're so glad we know the God that is with us. It's not just something we read in a book or a page, but it's the living, breathing God that is with us, yes. As you guys have been testifying today too. And that's what we're gonna be finishing today here in our series here. Today I want to talk to you about storms. We talked about valleys in the wilderness and then storms. And what is a storm? I would submit to you that a storm is those difficult times that blow up out of nowhere, right? You ever been into a storm and you got into a storm and it just comes upon you suddenly, something that just kind of blows up? We lived in Florida for 10 years, and I remember in the afternoons and summer, the monsoon rains. If you didn't have a raincoat or, you know, your umbrella, you'd be outside and all of a sudden just, boom, there was that Central Florida rain and you'd get soaked and you're like, oh, man. And so I remember that. But the storm is something that just comes out of your life out of nowhere. Hurricanes, they've been naming hurricanes for many, many years. They always name those. We like to name things after something. And a lot of times, a lot of us, we'll name a storm. We might call it the storm of betrayal. Have you ever been betrayed by somebody? Or we might say, this is the storm of addiction, or the storm of depression, or this is the storm of my car always breaks down. Or this is the storm of, oh, I lost my job. Or this is the storm of, oh, I've got this disease, or my hip broke, or my foot broke, or whatever it is. But we go through these storms, and we label these storms in our life. And sometimes we say, God, when do I get a break? Life's going good. Things are going all of a sudden. The storm comes into your life, and you're like, God, can I just catch a break? Why me? You ever been there? Life, all of a sudden, something just blows into your life, and it's just like, what is going on? We've all been there because we all live a real life in this world. But I want to suggest to us this: never let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of God. Never let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of God. A lot of times we hit these storms in our life, and what sometimes our natural human inclination is to be like, did Jesus really say this in his word? Is he really going to come through? When we should be steadfast, because we've all seen Jesus be faithful to us and provide for us. And so I want to just, this is kind of the premise for us today, is never let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of God. And we're going to see here how the Apostle Paul, how even in a shipwreck, he stayed true to God. And he was good with what he was saying. Let's turn to Acts 27, and we're going to read this here. And we're going to look about Paul's missionary journey. Now, here on your screen is a map about what we're going to read. This is Paul's fourth missionary journey. This is his last journey. This is his journey from the nation of Israel all the way to Rome, to where he was imprisoned, and as we know, where he was beheaded in Rome and where he died. But this is the journey he went on. If you look down here in your lower right, there's Jerusalem. He was up here at Caesarea, and this is where he appealed to Caesar. And so they put him on a boat, and they went all around Cyprus over here to modern-day Turkey. They went down here to Crete, and then across the Adriatic Sea, the Mediterranean, over here to Italy, and then all the way up to Rome. This journey is about 1,500-mile journey by boat. And so Paul appeals to Caesar to plead his case. Anyhow, they put him on a boat, and they ship him out, and they say, okay, so this is what we're going to read about. This is where the journey where he's on. And the journey we're going to read about is right here. Paul gets right here to Myra right here in southern Turkey, and then the scripture we're going to read, it picks up, and it tells how they go down to Crete, and then this part of the story where the ship is buffeted for 2 weeks is right here. And then he lands on the island of Malta. If you read it in the final chapter of Acts is where it ends up. So let's read here. And it'll be here on your screen as well. All right. Acts 27, verse 9. And it says, "So much time had passed," and I'm reading out of the ESV, "and the voyage was now dangerous because even the fast was already over. Paul advised them, saying, 'Sirs, I perceive that the voyage will be with injury and much loss, not only of the cargo ship, but also of our lives. But the centurion paid no attention to the pilot and to the owner of the ship, then to what Paul said. And because the harbor was not suitable to spend the winter in, the majority decided to put out to sea from there, on the chance that somehow they could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete, facing both southwest and northwest, and spend the winter there. Now when the south wind blew gently, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, they weighed anchor and sailed along Crete, close to the shore. But soon a tempestuous wind called the Northeasterner struck down from the land. And when the ship was caught and could not face the wind, we gave way to it, and we were driven along. Running under the lee of a small island called Caudia, we managed with difficulty to secure the ship's boat. That's their life raft. After hoisting it up, they used supports to undergird the ship. So think about this. They're in such a bad storm. They're running. They would run ropes around the ship to help strengthen so the ship couldn't twist and creak in that. So they were going to run ropes underneath of it to kind of keep it together because it was getting so bad. After hoisting it up, they used supports to undergird the ship. Then fearing that they would run aground on the Sirtarius, they lowered the gear, and thus they were driven along. Since we were violently storm-tossed, they began the next journey to jettison the cargo. And on the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope of us being saved was at last abandoned. Wow. Boy, this is the Apostle Paul, the man that was a spokesperson for Jesus. He's on a boat about to die in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea, and they gave up all hope. How many of you have been there in the middle of a storm? Have you ever given up hope? You ever been there? You were like, oh, well, it's the ship's going to, implode, or I'm going down with the ship. Whatever thing the storm is in my life, I'm going down with it. This is what they were facing right here. The storm continued to rage. And let's read on. Look at verse 21 here. It'll be on your screen. It says, since they had been without food for a long time, Paul stood up among them and he said, men, you should have listened to me and not have set sail from Crete and incurred this injury and loss. As spiritual as Paul was, he wasn't above saying, I told you so. I told you so. I mean, here's the guy being in prison and they've seen miracles done. And Paul's like, I told you, you're going to end up losing this thing. But have you ever been there? Have you ever told someone, you should have listened to me, right? If you're a parent, you told your kids many times that you should have listened to mom or dad, right? But sometimes we like to blame the devil on our stupid decisions in the storms. Sometimes we get into a storm and it's our own darn fault. But we like to blame God or blame the devil. Oh, God, or oh, the devil did this. But it was our own humanity and us not following the wisdom of Scripture or the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. But we've been in these storms, and it's easy sometimes to believe that God will get you out of it if God allowed you in it. But it's more difficult sometimes when we realize, boy, man, I did this to myself. We've been in storms where we've walked through, we're following God, and something just comes up, but we know that God's with us, right? But there's been other times where you're like, I got myself in this storm. Now, how do I get out of this storm? And in those times, sometimes it's harder to think, well, is Emmanuel God with me? Is God still with me when I've knowingly walked outside of his path, outside of the knowledge of the Spirit? The Holy Spirit said, hey, don't do this, but what did we say? Oh, I got this, and I did this, and I walked away from what God said. You're like, then it's hard to believe, well, God, will you still come for your child? Will you save me in this storm? I've been there. When I really know I've set that side of God's will, and I'm thinking, oh, I'm in a heap of trouble. I'm up the creek with no paddle. Oh, now, God, are you really going to be with me? I don't know. I feel like you're going to probably forsake me because I didn't listen or I disobeyed you. Right, we've been there as children of God. But that's not what Scripture says, what our God does. Let's continue on here. Look at verse 22 and 23. Let's read on here. It'll be on your screen. It says, yet now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no life, loss of life among you, but only the ship. For this very night there stood before me, your translation might say, or beside me. It can be before me or beside me, but in the presence with him, an angel of God to whom I belong and to whom I worship. An angel stood before me. Wow. In the middle of the storm, Paul was visited by the presence of God. He was visited. Now, Paul was suffering from someone else's ignorant decision to take a boat out when Paul said, hey, don't do this. But God still showed up to Paul, his faithful one, his disciple, even when someone else messed up. He was there. His angels were there. His Spirit still dwells with you even when we're on the ship and we think it's going down. God still dwells with us. Now, Acts right here, what we're reading, the book of Acts is a narrative story. It's written as a historical account. But even in a historical account, we can see God's faithfulness and his provision to his people here. And so I'm going to remind us again, never let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of God. As we're reading this story, and you're going to find out, if you read Acts 27, Paul never says, well, you know, I've served this God all these years. I've seen all this. Boy, but God can't save me on a ship now. I'm doomed. I'm on a Roman ship. Oh, well, I'm going down. Paul never doubts God's presence. The angel shows up. God sends him to console Paul and tell him, hey, it's going to be okay. You're not going to lose life here. Look, what's going on here. Let's look at some more verses here. Look at 2 Timothy here, 4, 16 through 17. This is Paul. Paul's writing to the young pastor Timothy. He says this. He says, at my first offense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. You felt that in a storm? You ever been deserted? He goes, may it not be charged against them, but the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Boy, that sounds like someone that knows God the Father, knows the confidence that God stands by us. Even when everyone else deserts us, or we feel like we're in the lion's mouth of the storm, that God our Father is there. And then down in Psalms 16, verse 8, David writes, he says, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Do you and I live with that confidence, as Paul and King David, that when we're in the storms of life, the Lord is beside us, that we're not going to be shaken. Everything else might be shaken. The boat's going to be creaking, the water's coming over, there's lightning, there's thunder, there's hail, but the Lord is beside me. Can you say that today, church? With whatever you're going through, the Lord is beside me. I may be facing the lion's mouth. The United States might look like the ship's going down, but the Lord is beside me, beside his faithful ones, beside the churches of Siouxland that call on his name. Is that with us? That's what we want to get at today. Even in the storm, we cannot doubt God's presence. I'm tired, and I don't know about you, but I'm tired of seeing people when they go through a storm, they peace out on God, they doubt everything, they think God's some wishy-washy, angry grandpa up in the sky. Instead of knowing that he is the one that stands beside us, he's given us promises, that he's faithful and true. I'm looking, and I want to encourage him. I hope the church in this time in our life in America, that we will stay faithful to Christ, that we stay faithful to his word, and not leave him. Think about this. Matthew and Mark were on the boat with Jesus. And we know it's a classic story. Jesus was asleep in the storm and the thunder and the rain. Jesus was asleep like a little baby in there. Jesus wasn't afraid of drowning, but why were the disciples afraid? Why were they afraid when they had Jesus with them? I want to submit to us, peace is not in the absence of the storm. I've been learning this a lot in my own life, that just because the storm's not there doesn't mean that there's peace in your life. But in the midst of the storm, you can have peace because you have the presence of Jesus with you. If we know that the Holy Spirit indwells in us, and with that, we can be at peace. Look here at verse 23 and 24. Let's continue on here. We're going to read 23 again. It says, for this very night there stood before me an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I worship. And he said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar, and behold, God has granted you all those who sail with you. God's reminding Paul, you can't go down in this boat. I have a purpose for you. And if you're facing a storm right now, God wants to remind you today, the Spirit wants to remind you that you have a purpose. Whether you're 42, 17, 14, 13, 95, 85, 61, 75, doesn't matter. If you're still breathing, as I said, you still got a purpose. And you're not going to go down with the ship. Whatever you're facing right now, if it's in your health, your finances, whatever it is, your vocation, don't look at that. That's right here. That's the temporal. That's right in front of you. Pull that back and see the God of ages who's been with you, who's been faithful to provide for his people, who's faithful here to Paul in this true story that happened. God says, hey, Paul, you got another battle to fight. You got to spread the word so that all the Gentiles that would one day live in Sioux City, Iowa, would hear the word of the Lord. Paul's mission was to the Gentiles, and God was going to fulfill his call to spread the word, as it says in the scripture, to all the seafaring nations, all the islands, everywhere else where the word of God needed to go. And Paul was not going to go down this ship, just like you and I have a mission and purpose. And whichever you're facing today, you're not going to die. You're not going to die, right? God has you, and he's calling you. Some of you, you survived a lot of things. You survived cancer. You survived marriage issues. You survived addiction. You survived job loss. You survived health scares. We could go on and on. Things that in this body that you guys have come through, that God has delivered you from. And God has brought you through that to be a testimony to others, to keep spreading the light of Jesus. Look at verse 25 here, excuse me. It says, Paul finishes and he says, "So take heart, men, for I have faith in God that it will be exactly as I have been told." And I want to say this earlier, that faith is not what I see. Faith is in what God speaks. Paul didn't say, "Hey, you know, guys, here's what I see. Here's what I think. Here's the Apostle Paul's commentary on our situation." All he repeated was what the Lord had spoken to him. And whatever God has spoken to us, we can take it to the bank. We can count on it. God's given us a lot of promises in his word. That's for everyone, every believer, for all of us that call on the name of the Lord. And we need to trust those in what God has spoken. And to some of us, God has individually spoken, "Hey, I'm going to do this in your life. I'm going to heal you. Hey, I'm going to do this." It may be a while. But faith is not what we see, right? It's in the confidence of what God speaks and the assurance of what God speaks. And then secondly, our faith is not in the boat. Church, today, my faith is not in Cross Point Church. It's not in the nice pews. It's not in this building, right? Don't put it in my preaching. Don't put it in my little sermon notes. Don't put your faith in that stuff. Put your faith in the one who commands the wind and the waves. My faith is not in the American church, not in the Baptist church, not in the Presbyterian church, not in the Assemblies of God, not in any church, right? Our faith is in the one who gave us the body of believers together, the one who died for us. That is where our faith comes from and what Jesus has spoken over us. So if you're in the storm, you're on the boat is creaking and falling apart, relax. The one who commanded those waves said, "Hey, I have a purpose for you. I'm going to get you through. I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'm with you." Remember Psalms 139, we've been reading, "Where can we go from a spirit? If I ascend to the mountains, if I go to the depths, if I go anywhere, if I go into the grave, you are there with me." So church, why are we worrying? Why are we fretting? Why do we fret about who's in the presidency? What's the market done this week? Anybody watching the stock market? The stock market. Church, we are in some trouble with that puppy. But however, who cares? Our God says, "I have all the money in the world. I've got everything you need." So let's just, if you're in the storm, take a big breath, relax. Now, it doesn't downplay the situation. I'm not saying, yeah, let's go spend all the money. Right, we need to look at some financial things in our country. Right? Hear me out. Don't go crazy. But if you're in a storm, don't just jump over sea. Don't jump over the boat. But don't sit there and throw a pity party on the boat. Trust in God of the boat, the God that's got you on the boat, that put you on the boat to get you through to the next place where he wants to use you to speak of his son. I speak Jesus' name. The purpose of your storm is to build your reliance on God so that when you go to your next place, you'll speak Jesus' name even louder and truer and stronger, that you'll be a greater witness for him. That's the part of the purpose of the storm here. Paul wasn't just on the boat to have some story, but you know, he gets the Roman, tells the Roman centurion, "Hey, you want to hear about my story?" No, not just for a story's sake. It was a story to say, "Hey, Roman centurion, do you want to hear about the Lord God Almighty, who is the one true God over Caesar and what he's done?" That's part of God's story. That's God's purpose in our life here. You can't control your situation, just like you can't control when the storm starts in your life. I mean, I've never heard anyone in this church say, "Man, I'm planning tomorrow for my car to break down. I'm planning tomorrow to break my leg. I'm planning tomorrow to lose all my money. Or I'm planning tomorrow to lose my job. Yes, I'm looking forward to this. Please, God, let this happen." Right? We usually encounter storms when we walk into something. We walk into it. You can't control that, but you can control who you listen to, what you say, and where you place your faith. You can control those three things. You can control who you listen to, what you say, and where you place your faith in the storm. And I would encourage you, church, as your friend, as your pastor, fellow brother in Christ, stop listening to the enemy. Stop listening to the wind and the waves and the thunder and the lightning. And realize God made all that stuff. So why are we afraid of all that stuff? If he made it, let's relax. Like I've been saying for years, I tell people, don't be afraid of money. All those trees on the hill, we fight. God made all those trees, and those trees are used to make our paper money. Why do we worry about it? Why do we worry? God made the trees. He can make money. He can provide for you. He can take care of your needs. So once again, you can't control what you listen to, what you say, and where you place your faith. And I want to end on this. Psalms 46, that's a familiar one, we know. God is our refuge. It's an old hymn. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, in the storm. Therefore, we will not, what church say it? Come on. We will not fear, though the earth gives way, though I lose my job, I lose my spouse, I break a leg, I get sick, you name it, the car breaks down, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. God is our refuge and our strength in the storm. And today in this Christmas season, there's a lot of people going through the storms of life. In your work, in your neighborhoods, in your family, we all know that a lot of times the holidays bring up the worst and bring up people's feelings of inadequacy, loneliness, whatever's happened in their life, whatever storm they're going through. But God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Do you listen to that word of the Lord? Or do you listen to the wind and the waves and the roar? When this verse tells us that none of that matters, it's all going to be thrown in the heart of the sea. Because our God's strong and mighty and powerful. He is what you need. He is my safety. He is my strength. He is my comforter, my source, my redeemer, my sustainer, my provider, my assurance, my salvation. Do you listen to those words of what Scripture tells us? Do you say that to yourself when you're going through the storm? Peace is, like I said, isn't always found in the absence of the storm. Peace is found in the presence of a good God. Paul was able to be at peace because what did he know? He knew the character of God. He knew that God was a loving Father, faithful, holy, and just, and cannot stand around sin and darkness. But he was a loving God, compassionate to 1,000 generations, a God that would stayed beside the nation of Israel. Paul knew that. He was able to stay true. And in the storm, he was able to say, hey, guys, I told you so. You should have listened to me. Should have listened to the one who sent me. And church, I hope today, as you, whatever storm you're going through, you listen to the word of God and listen to the living word, Jesus himself, who says, I'm with you. I am your help and your refuge and your strength today. Don't be that Christian that peaces out on Jesus when the storm comes in your life. Don't be that testimony to the world, to that next destination, to that person that needs to see the testimony of God. Don't be that Christian that says, I'm just going to cry and throw myself overboard of the storm and just because God's not going to be with me. Don't be that Christian. God has brought you too far and through so much to be that Christian to end right here. When there's someone who is going to go to a Christless eternity, if you don't stay on the boat, look at the waves, laugh at the waves, say, come on, waves, get me wet. I need a good bath. Come on, get me wet. It's okay. My God's good. My God's faithful. My God will get me through this. Stay on the boat. Stay in the presence of a good God. And don't doubt the presence of our God when you're in the storm. And whatever storm you're going through, whatever it is, each of us have things that are very weighty and personal to us, things that are in each of our inner man that you probably may not even share with someone in this room, but alone to God. Give it to God. And then the storm, trust him that he's faithful and true and that he will come through. We talked about in our class this morning, our just growing deeper, that sometimes the timing that which we want, of course, doesn't happen. But God's faithful. God is faithful. And the end of the story in Acts 27, what happens? Paul once again is able to testify that what God had done and said and why, where he was going. And the people of Malta and then the people of Crete actually got to know who God was. Historians, biblical historians and archaeologists believe, this is they think, that a lot of the original origins of the church on Crete and Malta came from that encounter where Paul had and planted the gospel seeds. And they can trace it back through historians. There's just archaeological records that give testimony. There's one of them specifically, and I'm going a little sidetracked, that says that there was a man, this is from one of the rulers of Crete and Malta that's in Cyprus, that said there was a man who was shipwrecked who talked about an invisible God who protected him. And this invisible God sent his son to die for him. And that's all it was mentioned in kind of in the history notes of one of the rulers of Crete and Cyprus and Malta. Now, what happens if Paul would have been like, God, I'm peacing out on you, and we're going to die? What would have happened to those downlines, to those genealogies? And today, once again, there's people that need to know the faithfulness of God in your life, at your work here in South Sioux, North Sioux, Sioux City, a relative, a family member, who knows, a child, a grandchild, a great-grandchild that needs to know the faithfulness of the invisible, one true God. So don't bail ship. Stay faithful and true. And let God show up in your storm that you're in right now. And so with that, let's pray. And let's ask God to be in our storms right now, okay? Let's call out to him. And once again, whatever that storm you're going through, call out to God in your own heart and mind. And lift that up to him. Jesus, we come before you as brothers and sisters, that God, that say, we need you. God, we need you right now in our lives. God, whether we're 13 years old or 90 years old, God, we need you. God, we need you to show up in those storms and those difficult areas of our life that we are passing through. We're in a storm right now, and there's the winds and the waves, and we're thinking we're going to die. But God, we know that you're faithful and that you are true, and that, God, you're going to bring us through to be a testimony of your power. And so, God, I ask right now for you to be there. Show up in everyone's life. God, whatever we're lifting up right now to you, God, I ask you to come mightily and powerfully. Jesus, come and be our strength and our refuge. Be our provider. Be our salvation. Be our hope. Be our strength, God. Be the anchor in the storm. God, be the one that keeps us steady. God, may we stay on the boat. God, may we be a faithful witness. Because, God, we know you created all the things that we're going through, God. We know that you are faithful. And that nothing, God, nothing catches you off guard. God, we say thank you for, God, we say, first of all, thank you for all the things you've brought us through. God, we say thank you to alone to you, the God Most High, that you've provided and you've given us everything. And God, we say thank you all in advance for the miracles you're going to do and for the landing zone you're going to bring us to, God, through the storm, on the other side of the storm. God, we say thank you ahead by faith, God, because God, we know that you speak a good word over us. And God, you speak a faithful word. And so God, we say thank you for that. And God, we look forward to the testimonies that are going to come from today, from trusting in you and staying on the boat and getting through the storm and trusting you, Jesus. God, go with us today and your power and might. And God, we just say thank you for being Emmanuel. God with us. Thank you for being with us in the storms, in the valleys, in the wildernesses of life. You, Jesus, are faithful. And God, we just say.